Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Previously, .tv Podcast Network.
Mademoiselle Brenda, Monsieur Rick is here.
Shut up, Brandon.
Bonjour, everybody. This is Again With This.
Oh, no.
Beverly Hills 90210 edition.
Mon Dieu.
Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 13, Revue Without a Cause.
With a Cause.
See? And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Before we start, just want a quick reminder, the Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know t-shirt is back in the store. Go to glarkware.com to purchase it. It's available in a variety of colors. And please do, if and when you get it, because it's very important that you do, take a picture of yourself in it, and we will post it on our Facebook page. That also goes for the equally important Don't Be Such a Squeef t-shirt.
Yes, I keep meaning to do that and get the squeef ball rolling and then forgetting. So I will do that, and I urge everyone to join me and to get your pets involved, put your kids in it. I know it's abusive. I won't tell anyone.
Squeef ball, also abusive, speaking of things that are wrong and shouldn't happen.
Yes,
Sarah. Sorry. Speaking of other things that are wrong and shouldn't happen, the C story in our episode, called it Dottie. So let's go. Jim has a new secretary. Her name is Dottie. She calls for him at home, but he hasn't actually made it yet, so she speaks to Cindy. And when he gets there, he explains she's very eager because she's a temp and she's trying to make a good impression so that she gets hired on as a perm. And he further says that she's the best secretary he's had since he's moved to California. Now here's where the storyline first gets upsetting. Later, Jim and his open robe and his chest pelt come downstairs to the kitchen where people eat.
Stud mania out of control.
I mean, it is out of control.
Don't be such a squeak.
It is out of control for sure.
Oh my God. It's completely out of control.
Play Jay, Dave.
Completely out of control.
It does suck.
I just saw Eckhouse in the most recent episode of American Experience, which is about James Garfield, and he played Dr. Bliss, who basically killed President Garfield by, like, germing up his bullet wound. But because he was played by James Eckhouse, I just kept thinking of the, like, millions of chest hairs that must have been falling into Garfield's food, Garfield's wounds, Garfield's mouth, like... It's so, and I'm not against a hairy dude.
Certainly not. Me neither.
This is
for the official record. Neither am I.
Good.
Yeah.
No comment from Dave.
Good to know here after so many years of marriage that you're okay with.
No, I want you to depilate it so you look like Kato Kaelin in The People versus O.J. Simpson: An American Crime Story.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's. That's a lot.
It's not a lot. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's really not.
Long story short, Jim is hairy, and he comes down to the kitchen to take another call from Dottie. Apparently, she's so keen that she stayed at work very late and typed up this whole report. And since she went above and beyond, he wants to actually go down there and sign it so it can go out tonight. Cindy thinks that's bullshit because it's 9:30 p.m. She kind of has a point. She suggests that he see if Dottie can just bring it by the house for him to sign. And of course, Dottie agrees and thus gets upgraded not just to the best secretary he's had in California, but the best secretary he's ever had. And then, because she has the name Dottie, you expect her to be some old bat in the Mrs. Landingham mold from the West Wing, but no. She's young and beautiful. She actually kind of looks like Terry Hatcher. She was on my mind since we just did Lois and Clark for the Canon on Extra Hot Great. Check
yes.
it out.
Yes, and Reek.
And Reek, of course, also on my mind always. Jim comes down to get the door. He's not only gotten fully dressed, he shoves Cindy out of the way. I made a GIF. You can see it in the visual aids. Like, with his hand, she reacts to it. It's actually kind of funny. And he's like put on a stripy shirt and looks all smart and stuff. Brandon also fawns to fuck Dottie, apparently. And after she gives him, Jim, not Brandon, the papers to sign, she reminds him that he has a haircut the next morning at 9:30. Hello, is it a work day or not? I would like to know. Who gets a haircut at 9:30 on a weekday?
Ne'er-do-wells.
That's right.
Hair-do-wells.
Anyway, hair-do-wells.
Well, it's Eckhaus. It'll take 4 minutes. Well, unless they're flobying the chest belt, which, fine with that. Take it as a tax write-off.
It's a haircut plus.
On me.
Anyway, Jim thanks her, and Dottie lays it on a little bit thick about working with someone that she respects so much, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as she's gone, Cindy is in a snit. Jim asks her what is wrong, and she tells him in our first clip, number 2.
Oh, it's so obvious.
What is?
I mean, why she's such an incredible secretary. Oh, sweetie, she has the hots for you.
Oh, God.
Cindy? Really, Mom? Think about what you're saying here. You're saying that a babe like that has got the hots for Dad? Yeah. I mean, what is? She's like in her 20s. There's no major point. But what I would like to know is, what is your point?
Why did you change your clothes before she came?
Dottie and I have a professional relationship, and I didn't think it would be appropriate to answer the door in my bathrobe.
Or without aftershave.
Do you know what you sound like?
A very perceptive woman?
No. A jealous wife.
Oh, please.
Which I don't get. I mean, what bothers you more, that she respects me or she admires me?
Well, actually, it's what she has to offer that I'm most concerned with.
Really? A girl like that is not... Brandon, I'll take care of it.
Credit where it's due. They are very funny in this scene.
Yeah.
How much Brandon, I mean, obviously grading on a curve, but how absurd Brandon finds the idea that she could have the hots for Jim, which, to be fair, is absurd.
Yeah, it is. And his, like, raspy chuckle that he's just like, what? I don't know. Oh, Brandon, likable. It took me a minute to realize what that sensation was, not hating you.
And to be fair to Jim, it would have not been appropriate for him to have come to the door and greeted his secretary, who's only a temp, in his robe with no shirt underneath. And that applies to any other person that might come to the door, including like his parents. But anyway, Jim assures Cindy very seriously that when he goes to the office, he's only thinking about work, and that between that and his family, nothing else ever enters his mind. After Dottie has called to let Cindy know Jim's going to be late for dinner, we see what's happening there. And it turns out Dottie and her low cut top are asking Jim to sign her time card. She kisses his ass some more about how much she loves the job and that the employment agency is going to call him about her going full time. And he's been thinking about that, too. In the midst of this conversation, by the way, please go to the visual aids to see the picture on Jim's desk of his family, which is obviously like a season 1 press shot. But like the rest of the family is all smiling like normal. And Brandon is like giving his blue steel to the camera. It's so weird. Like, no professional photographer would ever let that go home with a family. Anyway, then Dottie starts acting like a lady in a Skinamax movie with the hands and the hair and unzipping the ornamental zipper on her skirt and crawling across the desk toward him. And oh my God, Cindy was right. Except it's a total fantasy, of course. Except the top, which she actually is wearing at the workplace, despite how inappropriate it is. It's really low cut. Please go to the visual aids. I am not a crackpot. And then she snaps him out of his reverie in clip number 3.
Mr. Walsh, there's no time pressure on this. If you're not ready, I'll tell the agency to back off.
No, not at all. No, I'll sleep with you. I'll sleep on it tonight and give you my decision.
Oh.
I mean, and we never saw her again, right?
No, she comes back. She's in in another episode. Yeah, I think
she's...
Oh, yeah,
that's right, because she's going to get married or something.
Yes.
I'd like some jugs of milk.
Yeah, you can see almost her entire jugs of milk, except for her nipples, pretty much. I cannot get over this top. It's just not okay for the office. Sorry.
No, it's really not. And I don't think she's wearing any foundation garments either, because how could she be?
I believe you're correct. Moving on.
That was a Clone High reference. That wasn't just me talking about boobs out of the way.
Yes. That is true. Moving on. Hackers 92. So Herbert is paranoid that the word about his and Steve's quote hacking unquote is already going around school. He says it's a felony to tamper with a computer system, which did they? They just logged into it with the password they were given over the phone. But whatever. Mrs. Teasley is apparently talking to cops. And Andrea is wheeling around the Blaze office, incredibly frustrated and annoyed. Brandon helps her and then acts like he cares for a second in clip number 4.
Other than that, how you feeling?
Not too bad. Considering two buses passed me on the way to school, which I think is illegal. I couldn't fit through the door at the corner market to buy some gum. And with people staring at you like you're an alien from another planet, don't think I'm not going to do a major story on how the physically challenged are treated in this country.
Can't wait.
Good to have you back, Andrea.
Classic Andrea's.
A lot
never
of
had
parents will read that.
Never had good. An experience she couldn't Over try to turn into an expose. But speaking of classic Andrea, here's even more in clip number 5.
We've got to do an investigative report on that break-in. Brandon, it is an award-winning story if ever I heard one.
Easier said than done. Mrs. Teasley has, and I quote, nothing to say on the matter.
Wait, and you let that stop you?
Just a reminder, Brandon is lazy and bad at this job. He was handed for no reason. Fuck off, Brandon. moving on. Steve watches Andrea talking to Mrs. Teasley. Brandon tells him that Andrea is working on the computer thing, and he tries to minimize Andrea's mad skills with a Z, but Brandon has more confidence in her. And then she comes out, and we hear this, clip number 6.
So, who done it?
Look, we'll just talk later, okay?
Oh, come on, Andrea. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah, come on, Andrea. Steve's like part of the family. He's a black sheep cousin twice removed, but still.
Got the point. Cuz.
Well, as long as you keep everything off the record.
He yeah, sure, doesn't sure, have sure, a record to be off.
Well, not much, but at least the grades have been restored.
Oh, I guess that's it then. Problem solved, case closed.
Actually, the case has been reopened. The police have promised Miss Teasley they're going to keep on this puppy until they make an arrest.
Oh, no.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? So I won't get into it, but right. What?
Yeah, there's, again, every single part of the story since before it started has been completely absurd and nonsensical, so why should it start making sense now? Spoiler alert, it doesn't and won't. And as the scene ends, Steve worriedly watches Hutch, the janitor, give him the hairy eyeball and then go and talk to the detectives, and later he is summoned by Hutch to his janitor Hutch and chooses to act important and put upon, which is a bad play. Hutch threatens to tell the cops about the earlier break-in. Steve gives him another 100. Surely that will be the end of it. Not. Steve escorts Andrea back to the Peach Pit, where Nat is happy to see her and celebrates in his customary fashion. Clip number 7.
And in honor of your return to the Peach Pit, tonight, everyone in the house.
Oh, we should get one over more often.
Sarah?
Why bother? He'll just give you shit for free every other time, too. Failed a test, broke up with Jay, he's about to close the place down, you're wearing purple. Doesn't matter. It's always free. Free, free, free. Fuck off.
You need to write something for the site. I'm just saying this now so you can noodle on it. An imaginary conversation between Nat and Marcus Lemonis coming in to help him on the process.
Oh, my God. You kind of know
Which
him a little bit.
Which will end with Marcus Lemonis putting his head through the glass of the jukebox because he can't fucking take it anymore.
I should actually try to make that happen. Like, for super reals.
Yeah.
Put it on the list.
Yep.
Thank God. So Steve suggests to Andrea that if she wants leads on the driver that hit her, she should offer a reward. And she says this, clip number 8.
Oh, right. I should just dig deep in my change purse.
I'll put up the cash.
Thanks, Steve. That's very generous, but I... maybe it would work. I mean, the school's going to do it for the break-in.
You're kidding.
$250, no questions asked.
That's a terrible idea.
You just suggested it for the hit and run.
Yeah, but this is completely different.
Why?
Well, you know how kids are. They'll make up any story to get their hands on some dough.
Now, look, you're probably right. The detective in charge of the investigation told me in confidence that he thinks the trail's getting really cold.
Really? It's too bad.
Yeah, but you know, he strikes me as such an incredibly negative kind of guy. I mean, they already know that it wasn't a forced entry.
Come again?
No, it wasn't a break-in. Whoever was going and tampering with those computers was either hiding in the school or somehow got a set of keys.
Uh-oh. Then Herbert comes in.
Also, I have to say, I wish this turned out to be a total long con by Andrea because he's being so obvious.
Yeah, he is. That's true.
Yeah.
Also, $250 doesn't seem like a very big amount of money for the school that's supposed to be full of like fucking Richies, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Richies, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Socias.
With their dollar signs for eyes.
That's right.
Ugh.
I hate them so much. Then Herbert comes in urgently wanting to talk to Steve, who puts him off and covers to Andrea about Herbert's supposed girl problems. Next day at the Blaze, which a lot of parents read, Andrea tells Brandon the computer thing might be bigger than they thought. She talked to Jay, remember him, who told her about the rumors that he's heard about the legacy key. And that rings a bell, so Brandon finds Steve and confronts him about having taken the legacy key at all. And then Andrea's on the trail. Steve denied that he crossed any lines. Brandon says if that's the case, Steve will hand over the guy who offered it to Steve, which I'm pretty sure Steve already told him. Fucking that girl Suds' boyfriend, BJ. Brandon is dumb. And then Steve rolls in after hours for another meeting with Hutch, aggressive again like a fucking idiot, as we hear in clip number 9.
A little hostility, huh?
Let's just say blackmail doesn't bring out my best qualities, all right, Hutch?
Now, son, I don't think you're looking at this the right way at all.
Why don't you spare me your interpretation?
It's that kind of attitude got you into this trouble in the first place.
The attitude.
You got to learn to work from your strengths, boy. Yours is your wallet.
Oh. And also wearing ladies' aerobics clothes, as he's doing in this scene. What is with these sweat pedal pushers? Actually, I don't care. Don't tell me.
You see in the visual aids, they're also under like the one hanging light. It's very noir, except for Steve's outfit, which is very Lululemon. And then Steve gets Hutch another 100, but Hutch says that the price has gone up. Oh, noes. What next? We'll find out next week. We won't care, but we will find out. Moving on to the A story. Love Psy angle. So Donna is shocked to learn that Brenda,
AKA Peak Cock Dylan.
For real.
Buckle up.
It's not good. So Donna is shocked to learn that Brenda already has made a date with Reek. Meanwhile, across the quad, Dylan and his blouse run into Brandon. Brandon is helping Dylan out with his SAT battle by having researched some other dude who is accused of cheating. Also, Dylan is happy that Brandon is in his corner, unlike some people, meaning Brenda. And then Kelly rolls into the shot. I've labeled her, this picture in the visual aids, the 90s, because it is, in a good way. She actually looks cute, but she has, like, ponytail, dark denim jean jacket, white t-shirt, flowery short skirt, scrunch white socks, obviously. You can't really see them, but she's also wearing black Oxfords. It's, like, head to toe, the 90s. But, again, as I said, she looks good. And Kelly is paranoid, but Dylan has an answer when he goes over to talk to her in clip number 10.
Kel, we don't have to hide anymore.
I know. I just don't want anyone to get hurt.
Well, then you better go to the observatory with me tonight, or else I will be hurt bad. Real bad.
Dylan, we have to tell Brenda.
Tell her what?
Everything. I just don't want this to blow up in our faces.
You know, I don't either. Sometimes when you care about someone, honesty isn't necessarily the best policy.
Convenient.
I just feel like I need her permission to go out with you.
The only person you need permission from is yourself.
Then they kiss. This is, I will say, although it is terrible, it is consistent with Dylan's whole attitude of, like, you just have to be true to yourself. Like, no, that's not how the world works. Like, it was the same thing when he was telling Brenda to just ignore her parents telling her she shouldn't go to Mexico and just inform them that she was. Like, no, this isn't how things go. Brenda is going
to
flip
like,
shit.
Because you're inconvenienced by other people's feelings doesn't mean you get to just decide not to be inconvenienced by them.
Right.
Like, ugh. Also, you're not the one who was waiting for someone else to split up so you could be together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate that his attitude is that he was the one waiting and not Kelly. Like, settle down.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And that it just also, and we'll see this like through the rest of this episode and the next one, that not so much the next one, fortunately, actually, I just remembered. It has its own problems. But that that Dylan's attitude is like, she broke up with me, therefore anything I do forever after should not affect her at all. Like, sure, in a perfect universe, that would be the case, but that's not how people's feelings work anyway.
Yeah, also, your besties with her twin brother, like,
yeah,
some diplomacy, any.
Yeah, no. Like, they're acting like Brenda is this girl they kind of know. Like, Brenda's not dead Scott. She's been intimately part of everything that you've done socially at the school since she moved there. Like, you're not being reasonable. Kelly is right, in other words. And Brenda is still going to flip shit about Kelly dating her ex 3 seconds after they broke up, whether Brenda herself was the dumper or not. I mean, come on. Anyway, it was terrible. Dylan rolls into biology where Brenda is waiting in a streetwalker bustier. Sorry, but it is.
Yeah, it is.
You can see in the visual aids. And immediately shit is awkward in clip 11.
Hi, I'm
Am I supposed to bring something?
Yeah, the sodium chloride and every other chemical we need for this lab project.
I've had other things on my mind.
And obviously the grade that you get in this class isn't one of them.
You want another lab partner?
Yep.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. He's fucking up your grade.
So, have you heard anything from the SAT people?
No, Brent, I have. Did you get any more questions you want to ask me?
Yeah, do you want another lab partner?
Yeah, do you want to suck my dick? What is your problem? I'm trying to be civil.
Yeah, fuck you. Why does everyone else have to fail the class because you were boning her best friend 2 seconds after y'all broke up, so you forgot the sodium chloride, which, wait, sodium chloride? I mean, I know it's salt. It just sounds a little like...
Salt and radishes. Is this an experiment or an appetizer? Just saying. yeah, Dylan is terrible in this scene. I did not expect that Brenda would be this reasonable and nice to him, and he does not deserve it, and immediately starts proving that to her by being such a fucking cock. Anyway, in the next scene, Donna asks Kelly to weigh in on the matter of whether Brenda is a loose woman for having made another date already. Kelly, no surprise, backs up Brenda, who's excited about dating someone who's the opposite of Dylan, and she says so in clip 12.
I mean, he's sweet. He's a college man. He is gorgeous, and he's crazy about me. Not to knock Dylan, but it's kind of a relief to be with somebody who's not brooding all the time. I mean, you've known Dylan forever. You know what he's like. Yeah, kind of. Well, trust me. Between his trust fund, his SAT scores, and his sneaking around behind my back, I just got tired of dealing with all of it.
So you honestly won't mind if Dylan starts dating other girls?
No, he's free to go out with whoever he wants.
Oh, she does not mean that. Or she does, as long as it's only in the abstract. But also, she makes some pretty good points about how dating Dylan sucks.
Yeah. Terrible.
But yeah, I also love how she turns to Kelly like, you know Dylan, he sucks, right? And Kelly's like, yeah. Anyway, Rick comes to pick up.
I was the one sucking last night.
It sucks.
Yep.
So Rick comes to pick up Brenda for their date. Brandon clowns around doing his bad French accent, which is actually not bad compared to Brenda's. Cindy is, of course, delighted to see Rick again, as who wouldn't be. Brenda comes down in a very little black dress, and we learn that Rick transferred to UCLA for its business economics program. Brenda is slightly put off because she thought he was a writer. He says he thought she was French. Okay, fair enough.
I love that.
And then Jim and Rick have their own meet-cute in clip number 13.
You know, a good friend of mine teaches over at UCLA.
Really?
Yeah, he's asked me to speak to his class on tax shelters.
Wait a minute. You are the Jim Walsh who wrote The Last of the Dying Tax Shelters in Business World magazine?
Word for word.
Wow, this really is an honor.
Thank you.
I think you just made his day.
Oh, I think you made his life.
Aw. It's kind of a shame these two can't date, or can they?
Yeah, seriously. Spin-off!
Brenda and Rick leave. Jim is already way into him, as he would be anyone who was not Dylan, but especially Rick, who think he is great. Kelly and Dylan then go to the stupid planetarium. He is in a tie. I have in my notes, in all caps. talk about some field trip that they both went on in grade 7 to this place. They still remember which crush object each was sitting with, like, get a life. It was 5 years ago. And please go to the visual aids to see his jacket from behind because it's so big. He is so small. I thought when I first looked at it, it was upholstery, like, part of the chair. It's incredibly weird how this jacket fits him. It's not important. Yeah,
it's
just mention it.
Hideous, but I didn't even notice that because I was too busy cringing at Dylan's attempts to be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Which are the worst. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's too self-serious, but don't try to leaven the character with him doing a Scotty impression from Star Trek. Oh, it's so bad. And then poor Jenny Garth has to be like, tee-hee, that's so sexy. Yeah.
Horrible.
Terrible place to go for a date as well, especially when you're this age. Like, just go somewhere and make out. You have your own house. Anyway,
exactly.
Rick and Brenda go back to the Peach Pit. She is a little overdressed for it in the aforementioned tiny black dress. He keeps saying this can be their place since they kissed there once, but she says it can't be because Brandon works there and all her friends hang out there and there only. Rick tries to get her to realize she shouldn't be embarrassed to be seen there with him and then adds this, clip 14.
But hey, I'm not being critical. It's perfectly understandable. I mean, you were with him and now you're with me, and it's not easy to accept the fact that you're going to marry me and have my 5 children and spend the rest of your life loving me.
However many you want, Rick, I am here for that.
Seriously.
Sure enough, in come Donna and David. Donna makes an incredibly weird face seeing her, which you can see in the visual aids. There's a long silence while Donna continues making that yikes face. And then she makes Dylan go, David go put money in the jukebox, and Rick agrees with Brenda that they should go somewhere else after all. Meanwhile, outside the planetarium, Kelly and Dylan are looking at the view and generally being very basic in clip 15.
City is so beautiful when the Santa Anas are blowing.
So the only thing that's,
you know, the best
blowing
time is to come up here.
Sunset.
Nah. It's when you're so pissed off that you can't even see straight. I mean, you look up at these stars and down at that city, and you just realize that you were never meant to be the center of a universe. And it makes all the other stuff, all the hassles every day with the SAT people and all that, it makes it seem so insignificant.
Yes, it is.
You know what really stinks?
No, Kel. What really stinks?
This writing!
You screw up a few times. Everybody thinks that's who you are. All you'll ever be. Even when you try to do the right thing. It just makes you wonder if it's worth it, you know?
It's all worth it. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here right now.
This music. They're making out. We watch them kiss.
Blink.
For so long. Yes, Dave.
Oh.
I was going to say, in the rare occasion that you may not be able to do a Mad, Bad, and Dangerous and No challenge, uh-huh, or a death challenge,
right,
I think we should cut that clip and answer the question. Do a round table answering the question, what stinks?
Yeah, I would consider
that. Here's something that stinks. Yet more angst over Kelly's non-existent retconned reputation as a big hoe.
Yep.
Who cares?
Especially not Dylan, because it just reminds him, oh yeah, she'll probably fuck me. Spoiler alert, she totally will. Anyway, he seriously looks like he's about to try and take her dress
She's
off.
She's not the only one.
Yeah.
Her?
When she says she wants to take things slow, he reminds her that they've known each other all their lives. They couldn't take it any slower, but she is hungry for food, and so is he. So Dylan takes her to some live piano music joint and is trying to get her to share his chocolate mousse with her, but Kelly is still working on her eating disorder in clip 16.
Are you sure you don't want a bite of this?
I better not.
You don't know what you're missing.
Do you know how many calories are on that fork?
About a billion.
Is it yummy?
Oh.
Shut up.
Maybe
you're embarrassing.
A little teensy weensy bite.
Okay, you have to go to the visual aids to see. I know she said maybe I could have a small bite, but the amount that he puts on his fork, and I swear this is the only reason I took a picture, is like the size of half a sunflower seed. It's like a whisper of mousse. Like, give
well,
a girl a bite.
She does have a very tiny mouth.
Still, it's not acceptable.
And also, she just said she was starving.
Yeah.
It was her idea to go eat. So did she just have, like, a big plate of whatever at the second only restaurant in Beverly Hills, and now she's stuffed?
She had some delicious cumin, first of all, and then she had some coffee, so she's all set. Anyway, God.
I was just about to say something really disgusting.
Go ahead. Well, now you have to. Oh, no.
It involved tube steak, and it's beneath even me. That's what she said.
It sucks. There's some banal flirty talk leading up to Dylan kissing Kelly across the table, and then they're fully making out, and so much for taking it slow, basically, because Dylan is a swordsman, and his rap is so smooth, and nothing is going to ruin this date. Clip 17.
Spend the night with me, Kelly.
So they're walking to the door, still kissing.
She's like drunk on the thought of his D.
Yep. And then at the door, it's Brenda.
Oh my God.
And Rick.
Brenda. I can't believe this. I can't believe you would do this to me.
You said Dylan could go out with whoever he wanted.
And you said you were my best friend. What a joke.
Hey, give it a rest, Brenda, all right?
Shut up, dick.
You know, if you're trying to make me jealous, Dylan, it won't work.
Hey, you're the one who broke up with me, all right? Don't you ever forget it.
Jeez.
Ooh.
So how long has this been going on with you two?
Since about 6:30.
You know, Kelly, if you're trying to lose your bimbo image, I honestly don't think this will help. Look, Brenda.
Listen, I gotta say something here. Obviously, there's a lot of history between all of you, but hurting each other is not gonna accomplish a thing. By the way, I'm here.
I mean, that is so idiotic that he would even be trying to counsel all of them, but Dean Cain really plays it awesomely. I love it.
Well, speaking of counseling everyone, Rick, a college guy, thinks this is a time for everyone to sit down together and be adults, and he is mistaken in clip 18.
I mean, I know it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but you guys have known each other for too long to just blow it off like this.
I am not a bimbo, okay? Whatever you say, Kelly. But I was always taught that if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck, go to hell.
It's not how that duck thing ends. If it walks like a duck and sounds like a duck, go to hell.
You don't know ducks. They're fucking assholes.
Duck hell.
Yeah. So Rick brings Brenda home. He is sorry that their night ended the way it did. She feels betrayed, of course. Rick gives her some advice that's actually pretty insightful and solid, considering it's coming from someone who was such a dullard he spent an episode and a half believing she was French in clip 19.
It's about moving on. It's about forgetting about the past and looking to the future. About knowing that certain relationships are important at certain times in your life. Then you start moving in different directions and they just don't work anymore.
You sound like my father.
Well, your father's a smart man. So you told Dylan about us?
Yeah, sort of.
I am gonna make you forget him, Brenda.
I believe
you. Get that
you.
Super D. Get it.
I believe you, Rick. Make me forget him too, Rick.
Seriously.
Oh, God. Speaking of forgetting, contrast that exchange with what the other couple from the restaurant is doing now in clip 20.
Kelly, I didn't force you to do anything.
No, you didn't, but you were very persuasive. You were the one who said that honesty isn't the best policy.
No, what I'd said was honesty isn't necessarily the best policy when you're trying to keep from hurting someone.
Okay, counselor.
Seriously.
Then why do I feel so horrible? I mean, some of the things she said.
Yeah, well, you know, Bren's not really known for beating around the bush.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Whose bush is getting beaten now? Sorry.
But yeah, seriously.
This doesn't make any sense.
I knew what you meant. So they both know Brenda, so why did they not try to come up with a strategy for how this was going to go? Like, Dylan's thing is we can do this all out in the open, but clearly not. And when they got met by chance, it was bad. Also, dating Dylan seems terrible. Like, why are you yelling at me? You're the one who just broke up with this person and now our friendship is ruined. Stop being so fucking mean.
Ugh. Yeah, and why did she even go home with him anyway after all that? Like, yeah. Now they're gonna fuck? I don't think so.
Yeah, fight in the car and drive me home. Anyway, the next day, Dylan rolls into Mrs. Teasley's office. She looks very grave. She also has a new wig, which you can see in the visual aids. And in addition to the wig, she has some news in clip 21.
I'm afraid I have some bad news about your SAT score. The board's denied your appeal.
What? Deny? How the hell can they do that to me?
I'm just as surprised as you are.
Hey, I was there. I took the damn test.
I know you did, but the proctor doesn't remember anyone coming in late, and since there was no prior record of your signature, they didn't feel there was enough evidence to support your case. They did say they'll let you take the test again.
Yeah, that's real big of them, Mrs. Teasley.
Dylan, your only other option is to battle this out in court. Now, it's been done. But it's a lengthy process, and there are no guarantees.
So then it's official. I'm a cheater.
Yup.
I'm sorry.
Good word. Sorry, Mrs. Teasley. Except describe this whole situation. This thing is sorry.
Dylan.
She had nothing to do with this. She's just telling you what they said. So how about quit fucking yelling, Rajo?
Yeah.
Also, if this result was legit, you can do it again. It's the SAT. Like, it's not like you have to restudy for it. It's shit you already know. So just take the test again. The end.
It might help if you didn't look 40.
Yeah.
Which probably makes the proctor think you're taking it on someone else's behalf. Yeah. Is one thing. Here's another thing. You have had no intention of going to college because it's not your bag, man.
Yeah. So why do you care?
Yeah, why do you give two shits? Oh, that's right, because you got to be mad at something.
Mm-hmm. If you change your mind about going to college, just go and apply in Canada. They don't even have the SAT. You won't even need a score. That is true. I don't know if they do, if applicants are from the U.S. If you know, tell us in the comments. Moving on, Brenda sees Kelly in the hall and ices her out. Kelly decides to try to salvage their friendship, forgetting whom her friendship is actually with in clip 22.
Brenda, I need to talk to you.
Oh, suddenly you need my permission to do something?
Look, I wanted to tell you.
Then why didn't you count?
Dylan thought that it would only hurt you if we told you, and neither of us wanted to do that. So you snuck around behind my back out of concern for my feelings. That's pretty pathetic, Kelly. You were the one who said you were tired of going out with someone who was brooding all the time. You don't even know what went on last night. I think I know you and Dylan well enough to know that you did not go back to his house to study Spanish.
What's going on with you guys?
You know, now that I've met Rick, I can understand why you dumped Dylan. Rick's a stud. A big, sweet, boring stud.
Kelly.
At least I was a second choice. Neither was I.
Oh, and what do you mean by that?
Would you two stop it? Dylan!
Dylan is stopping past them.
Anywhere but here.
Yay! Oh, wait, the cameras follow him. Boo.
I will say, I mean, all joking about Shannen Doherty's off-screen reputation / attitude aside, until we get to the book excerpt, which we will later. Brenda and Kelly fighting is my favorite thing on the show, and obviously the writers love to write it because it's some of the best and truest dialogue on the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
It really comes alive. And also, I think is why they have them, spoiler alert, make peace and then fall out again, because it's so much more fun to write them on the outs. But anyway, moving on. At home, David talks to Kelly about the fight. She feels like she can't win. She kept Dylan at arm's length because of her friendship with Brenda, but then Brenda dumped him. Clip 23.
So, after a lot of soul searching,
I figure I'm free and clear to go for it, you know? Somehow I end up being the bitch.
How much soul searching did you do that day? Like, he came to you from her dumping him. Then you started making out. There was zero searching of any souls, in my view.
Yeah. Also, there's only one bitch here, but the writers aren't apparently prepared to say that it's Dylan McKay, so don't worry about it.
David doesn't think that Dylan feels that way about Kelly, although he sure was yelling at her like he did in that scene earlier. David leaves. Kelly calls Dylan, and he has a broody new outgoing message in clip 24.
Hey, this is Dylan. You know the drill.
Dylan, it's Kelly. Look, I don't know what's going on with you. I don't even know what's going on with me. But let's talk about it, okay? Call me. Anytime. I'll be here.
Not only doesn't he call her, he walks out while she's in the middle of leaving a message. He's so mad.
And slams the door for no one's benefit.
He's just being true to himself, Sarah.
But so what happened to the old message?
I don't know.
I mean, what happened in his life that he felt like Beeper Rooney wasn't saying what he needed to say? And he's so dismissive with this new one. You know the drill?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't.
Well, if the college board is calling him, he doesn't want them to think that he's forgotten his betrayal.
Yeah.
At the hands of ESB.
It's just sad to see the joy and light going out of somebody's eyes like that via an answering machine message.
Meanwhile, at the Walsh house, Rick and Jim are flirting in clip 25.
Yeah, with the new tax laws, I don't think there's any real great advantage to capital gains.
Well, just like tax shelters, they're not the attraction they used to be.
Then again, what is?
Brenda is super bored, and also...
Oh my god, there's this one side eye she cuts Rick. Like, she shot, like, down lengthwise, mm-hmm. down the couch, between the two of them, like, reaching for something, and then shooting Rick this death glare.
There's a gif in the visual aids. You can see it, and it's the best.
So good.
Rick enthuses about talking to a top professional like Jim, and Jim eats it up in clip 26.
You know, Rick, if you want to drop by the office to see how things run, I could give you the grand tour. Oh,
that would be terrific.
How scintillating.
Okay, someone who hates Shannon Doherty and her fucking mush mouth wrote that line for her to say because you can tell she practiced it, like, all morning. How scintillating. Yeah. Anyway, Rick promises no more shop talk. Cindy brings out dessert and coffee. The subject turns to what Rick's parents do. His dad's an electrical engineer. Oh my god, Jim totally has a keyboard that his dad made. Brenda hates everybody. Later, Brenda is sulking in the living room when Rick bounds downstairs, apparently having sung the entire Jerry Lee Lewis songbook with Jim upstairs. He proposes some male-female bonding, but she's not into it. She's not mad at him, but she does give him the kiss of death by saying he's a nice guy, but they don't have anything in common. He brings up fate and kismet and all that shit, but Brenda's over it in clip 27.
Look, I got wrapped up in the romance of it all. The truth is, I am not ready to get involved in another relationship, at least not the kind that you want.
Well, have I been pressuring you into doing anything you're not ready for?
Rick, I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about everything else. I mean, you practically have us walking down the aisle together.
Brenda, I never believed in love at first sight until I first saw you sitting on that park bench in Paris. And then when I ran into you at the video store, it hit me like a ton of bricks. You're the one.
Maybe if it were another time.
Just answer me one question.
No. It has nothing to do with Dylan McKay.
Are you sure about that?
Of course, she's not, but she...
I mean, and at least get it in before you dump him. Like, little revenge fucking? Come on, he's Superman!
It's true. She's really being very short-sighted here. While she cries a single tear, you can see it in the visual aids... He kisses her again and then jokes that Jim will be crushed. We're all crushed, Rick. He tells her not to lose his number because he won't lose hers, and they never saw him again. I know. So wrong. Then
it's so wrong.
Like, why? Because he talked to her dad about tax shelters. Now she's not attracted to him anymore. Whatever. I mean, granted, he's going a little far with the whole you're the one. Like, she's in high school. She's probably not the one. Calm down. But at the same time.
Well, I can think of one that you can take for a test drive before you make up your mind.
Hey, I'm with you.
I know.
Anyway.
Rage.
Speaking of fucking Dylan, Dylan rolls into the peach pit and tells Brandon about the SAT ruling. Brandon agrees that, Jay, it sucks. Forget it, Dave.
I thought you were talking about a character.
No.
You know, Jay is a letter, but also a name.
I know, and we also mentioned...
Don't be such a squeeze.
Jay, the character earlier, too. You're right, that's confusing. Brandon agrees that it sucks. Remember how Brenda said Dylan is brooding all the time? Well, here's some more in clip 28.
Anyway, Brandon, look, you're the only one who stuck by me through all of it, so I just want to come down and say thanks.
Hey, it ain't no thing. I'll see you tomorrow.
No, you won't.
Yay!
I'm going to take off for a while.
Not long enough.
Couldn't tell you.
But don't.
You talking about dropping out of school?
Beat it.
No, I'm talking about, I just need some space, you know? I need to get away from everyone.
Sure, that's such a good idea. I mean... I don't want to fall in any kind of self-destructive thing.
That's why I gotta go.
God.
First of all.
Yes?
Everyone stuck by you.
Yes!
Everyone. They were supportive. They believed you. Just because they didn't agree with your bullshit pinko response to the situation doesn't mean they weren't sticking by
yes.
you. Dingleberry. Second of all, you did this Brenda Kelly shit to yourself.
Yes.
Cock knocker.
Yes.
Third through 1/1,000,000th of all, fuck off.
I can't disagree with any of that. So Dylan and his denim on denim look give Brandon a manly handshake that turns into a manly hug. You see in the visual aids, Dylan staring into the distance of the peach pit like he is way too distraught about himself. Well, just sidebar too. If his whole thing is like, I want the SAT to know I'm serious and whatever, blah, blah, I have so much moral rectitude. Like, how does cutting a whole shitload of school right after this ruling comes down make you look? I'm guessing not great. Anyway, Brenda then calls Dylan, but he's already gone to parts unknown, which we will get to.
Lady parts unknown.
That's goddamn right. Her? Lady parts unnan? No, that doesn't work. The next episode is going to be so screamy. So let's wrap this one up so we can get to it. First of all, most valuable player of the episode, Rick.
Yeah, Rick.
Adorable.
He's super.
He is. Yeah. He's literally super. Least valuable player. Dylan.
Yeah.
It's nice for Brandon when he is not in an episode very much. He didn't get a chance to be the worst this week. Good for him. And he was actually almost a little bit the best in that scene with Jim and his laughing. He was not bad.
He'll go a long way towards making up the ground next time when everyone is the terriblest of all time.
Oh my God, it's so true. Okay, then next, the Kim challenge.
Bad, dangerous.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a rash of them in the next while, I think.
I'll begin.
Yes.
If I may.
Please, five reasons from, just for new listeners, five reasons from this episode, Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Sarah, please proceed.
I will begin with his outgoing message, which is really short and will leave callers unprepared because they think they're going to get a regular length message. And then they're like, hi, are you there? Instead, because they thought they would be told to wait for the beeparoony and then they're unprepared.
He's dangerous in that his coat that he wears to the planetarium is far too large and he could be smuggling in any number of kinds of contraband to what's supposed to be a safe scientific space.
He's a bad date because if you're asked to share food with your significant other, you don't expect, like, to dip a single tine in it and have it passed across the table to you. Like, is this prison?
It is a single tine. You're not even exaggerating. It's like,
no,
it's a speck. It's a fucking speck. Oh my God. He's bad because fucking just take your SAT over. What is your problem?
And he's bad and mad, I think, because he's mad at everyone else yep. for a relationship he cheated in and basically destroyed yep. and then did not even wait for it to cool before getting on someone else. Plural.
Yep. I agree. And finally, we have an excerpt.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a
you
girl?
You shouldn't. Here is today's excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. Ahem. You guys are not going to believe this. Her next try at high school was Le Lycée Français, the expensive private school that graduated numerous young stars, including Winona Ryder. However, despite the more casual atmosphere of the school, Shannon still had a hard time socially. Apparently, her crooked teeth made her feel insecure. And, no comment. And according to one friend, she liked junk food, and when she ate it, her skin broke out in ugly zits. The problems with her skin were reportedly so bad that her doctors prescribed facials every 3 weeks. Also, her addiction to expensive clothes didn't help her image much. And there were problems with boys. At one party, a friend recalled, no one asked her to dance. At a second party, Shannon stuffed herself with ice cream because she was so nervous. Within hours, she broke out. One of the guys yelled, "Better see your skin specialist or they're going to throw you off the show." Everyone started laughing and chanting, "Rich bitch, rich bitch, who needs you?"
That didn't happen.
No, no, it definitely that did not happen. Not.
Forget you, Dad.
But that is it for this episode.
Oh, boy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Again With This. Next time, her, Dylan meets Anne, Brandon meets Nikki's abusive ex, and his keytar, and Steve meets the scales of justice. If you'd like your lunch to get expelled, visit our visual aids at previously.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter at previouslyTV. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. Tara is on Twitter at Tara Ariano, and you can find Dave on Instagram at Glark. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beat.
Oh,
Brody.
R.I.P.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.